Hey, I'm Alex.
And I'm Christina.
And we're
Poor as Shoes. Featuring
Matt. Hello.
This is our podcast.
We Want to Believe.
Where we discuss the complicated and sometimes crazy TV show,
The X-Files.
You know it.
You love it.
And now we're going to talk about it.
Welcome to episode one of We Want to Believe, a brand new Poor Shoes production featuring Matty Cakes.
Matty Cakes, that's his name.
We're really sold on
that. No take backs. No take backs.
Super sold on that. Oh,
fuck's sake.
It is written.
And it was writ. So, you know, keeping with the creepy, mysterious, super sexy vibe.
Very sexy vibe this time around.
Very super sexy. We're going to be talking about the X-Files.
We love the X-Files.
Who doesn't?
Stupid people.
Nobody in this room.
So we're going to do a bit of a different format now that we have a third person joining us.
Who we love.
Super exciting.
I just ruin everything.
The dynamic has been shaking.
Well, yeah. Saying it. No, you make everything great. And
well,
we're
I feel
excited.
like you guys were like, oh, our next podcast should be X-Files. And I just happened to be there. And I said, can I please do it too? I just sort of like...
Is that how it happened?
It is pretty much how it happened, but I like that. I think it was really organic.
I was like, it's a great idea, and I should also be able to do it.
And we love that.
Why shouldn't you?
And now we're a trio.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love being a trio. It feels good.
Yeah.
So, what do we want to do in this show? We want to just discuss all of the details of the X-Files in a way that you've never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everybody's talked about the X-Files. This is a show that started in what year was it?
1992.
See? Yeah. 1992.
Yeah.
I was 3. Okay?
I was 6.
I was 4.
We were all different ages. And now we're also all different ages.
Yeah.
Some of us are old.
Pointing to Matt.
I pointed at Matt.
You can't see it.
But Matt's old is what you can't see.
Yeah.
That's what you don't know. You wouldn't know by looking at him.
No.
Young looking chap.
Yeah. He's a handsome guy. It's a shame that this isn't a video.
I know.
It's a shame.
Matt deserves it.
Can we just stop describing me?
Now I'm rubbing his shoulder. No one likes when I do that. Okay. So what we want to do is so we don't actually, right now, we don't fully know how many episodes we're going to get to do, but we want to do all of them eventually.
Yeah.
So we just don't know if we're going to go in order all the way through, but we definitely wanted to do the first episode. It's a big one. It's the episode.
I don't even know what it's called. I think
pilot.
It's called pilot.
Yeah, it's just called pilot.
Is that because it's like a pilot of a UFO?
No, I think that's because what they call the first episode of all TV shows.
Yeah.
It just coincidentally matches
with
the theme.
That's just some showbiz info for you.
Because we're like industry professionals.
So a bit of a different format. We are going to borrow from one of our favorite podcasts, a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Which are one of our favorite podcasts is Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
We love it.
And we want to borrow the 30-second recap competition.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we have 3 of us, so one of us can be a judge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, 30-second synopsis challenges.
Yes.
Wow.
We're challenged, that's for sure. It's a challenge.
And so what we're going to do is, like, Alex and I are going to compete this week against each other.
Yeah.
And Matt's going to judge. And then whoever wins gets to continue on to face Matt next week. And that's what...
The winner, the
champion.
I just
decided on that format.
Faces Matt. I love that format.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so Matt, I think you also have to, like, be the timer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me do that. Real quick.
So who's gonna go first?
I would say beauty before brains. So now you have to pick if you're beautiful or smart.
Wow! But you're both.
And so are you, but it's whatever you think you are.
It's a trap. I think that maybe I'm just a little bit smarter than you. Just
and I think I'm that kidding. I'm maybe just a little bit more beautiful than you.
Can we do rock, paper, scissors?
Sure. Now that you guys can see this, but we're going to only do one, not two out of three.
Okay,
we don't have time.
Whoever loses
gets to go first.
Okay.
Okay. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh. I lost. I picked scissors. Alex, ergo, ipso facto, picked rock. Are you ready for the 30-second synopsis? Matt, are you ready?
Yeah. Okay. Ready? Go.
Okay, so there's a body in the forest, and it has marks on it, and then they find it, and the guy's like, oh no, it's happening again. Cut to 1992, Dana Scully walking through the FBI lobby. She's wearing a double-breasted, extra-long blazer. It is jokes as fuck. She gets called into the room, and they're like, you need to know about Mulder. She's like, I already know. You need to know about the X-Files. She's like, it's a joke. They're like, you go there now, too. She goes there. Mulder is so fucking weird. He's like, knock, knock, and she's like, only the FBI's most unwanted, weird as fuck. Fuck! I ain't got it like the first opening
that
scene.
Was like...
That was horrible!
They didn't even get to the town yet.
Oh my god! I was talking so fast. I fixated on too many details. Learn from me.
Okay.
As far as a synopsis of every
detail over the first 5 minutes.
Every first 10 minutes of every X-Files episode, that was perfect. That was pretty much like exactly how that happened. So
this is like,
wow.
Wow,
30 seconds is not a long time. Alex.
Okay,
ready.
Please do
this
better.
Is so hard.
It's not hard. I just made it really really bad at it. That was really bad.
I don't even remember. I watched this like 2 weeks ago.
First time doing it, right? Okay, ready?
Okay, a girl is running very poorly through the forest, and she's visited by aliens. Then she ends up being dead. And then Dana Scully has to go to the FBI, and then she's being put at the X-Files, and Mulder's really spooky, and then she's assigned to the X-Files, and then they figure out this case, and they're trying to figure out what these weird marks on people's bodies are, and they go to this town, and then there's, like, bad turbulence on the plane on the way there, but then they experience all these weird things. Then they see this totally sickitating alien body, and then there's, like, a gray metallic implant in the nose of it. And then Scully thinks.
Okay. Okay.
What a hard choice for Matt
this
week.
We're so bad at this.
This is really difficult for me to judge.
I wasn't even like a third of the way through.
Well, I described literally the opening credits.
Really,
like, it didn't even go. It didn't even show yet. Like the opening song.
At least it was like it felt right.
So, for the week one winner, I think I'm going to give it to Alex, because she at least got...
Yes.
Like, she got
further. Oh my god, guys.
We even talked about the town. I accept that.
This
I'll
is the biggest win I've ever gotten in my life. I can't believe it. I've never felt like such a failure. I thought I was going to do a lot more. 30 seconds is really short. Matt, it's on next week because
yeah.
Holy
you're gonna
shit.
Have to really prepare. It's
this is eye-opening.
It doesn't make sense. Okay, on to the next thing.
We still have so much to talk about because we literally
didn't
know
talk
nothing.
About anything.
Yeah.
So do we want to talk a little bit more about what happens in the episode? Matt, maybe you could fill in the blanks.
Yeah, of which there are so many.
You mean like the two-thirds of the rest of the episode is yeah. covered in that recap? Well, to be fair, it's 30 seconds. 30 seconds is not a lot of time to do that, so...
Yeah, but, like, I think it could be possible. I think I just need to prepare more.
I don't think I should describe what anyone's wearing.
I don't think I should describe...
Or quote dialogue, like, verbatim.
Here's what they say. I don't think I should comment on how people run. Or how sickitating a body is. These are notes for next week.
Yeah.
We all have takeaways. Okay, yeah, Matt, fill us in.
So these are my notes from a few weeks ago. I'm a little rusty from watching the
episode, but I'm in the same boat.
So, which will be good, because then my notes don't make any sense, and then I can just laugh about it. Like, Ghost Tornado was the first note that I made.
Oh,
I
it's
like
because
that.
It's because it's like...
At the beginning,
there's a tornado, and then there's a ghost. So
yeah.
That's accurate.
Yeah, I was like, that's very strange. But, I don't know, I really, as far as pilots go... of like TV shows, I thought it was really good. It mm-hmm. very like encapsulated like everything about like what X-Files is in a very neat like 40 minute mm-hmm. 45 minute thing. It was really good.
I agree with that, because I think it's like they dove into an individual case, but they also, it was also like all encompassing of like, this is Mulder, he wants to believe. This is Scully, she don't believe.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, it highlighted, like, the general things, but it also was like, here's this case we're trying to solve. And, like, it also is, like, it's, like, a good tradition of X-Files episodes to oftentimes not have a solution at the end.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting for the episodic format. But I think also they did a great job of establishing the dynamic between Mulder and Scully.
Yep.
They're kind of, like, caricatures of themselves at this point because it is the pilot.
Yeah.
Like, Scully's just, she's like, science, only science.
And I'm a doctor.
Like, I am so creepy, and like, eat sunflower seeds out of his pocket. Like, yeah. He's like,
I believe in aliens. I'm gonna stop the car right here and mark an X. And like, it's so outlandish.
But so many other things get established, right? Like, Scully becomes less and less skeptical, I think, as the series goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And she has these moments of intense doubt and just wondering what the fuck is going on. And then there's also like a sexy moment between the two of them, which that builds and builds and builds.
Yes, we have to get into that later for sure. Okay,
so the beginning is the ghost tornado. It's 1992. You can obviously tell it's 1992. They're driving this rad old Ford Taurus.
Love that car. My dad had that car and it's great.
It's a boat. That car, they keep that car for like 5 fucking seasons. They're just driving the same piece of shit Ford Taurus
around. They're like, yo, can we get a new vehicle? And the FBI's like, yo, dude, you're the fucking X-Files, okay? Just fucking be happy we gave you
anything. Yeah, you shouldn't get anything.
And there's so much really good exposition in the beginning when Scully like goes into the FBI, talks to these old dudes who are like, we're going to get you to shadow this dude who lives in the basement of the FBI because, you know, for reasons that you kind of find out later in the series. But I thought, like, they did a really good job of just, like, talking about who Dana Scully is without it being, like, really obvious. Because, you know, in shows, they just do that. Just unnecessary talking about, like, the plot. But I thought it was really good. It was really, like, just talking about how... like, describing who Mulder is, and Scully's like, oh, I've heard of Mulder. He talks about, like, this, that, and the other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is how he's known. He's Spooky Mulder, or whatever. Which is such a weird, like, what a weird nickname to give a guy. Like,
Spooky Mulder. I love that.
I was actually thinking about that, too. It's, like, the way that they kind of check each other's credentials. It seems, I don't know, I mean, like, for FBI agents in TV shows, I think that's pretty standard. Like, that they know about each other, and he, like, reads Scully's dissertation.
Yeah.
Like, where's he, like, find has, the time? Like,
a dossier of
him. Yeah.
He's a, like, brilliant dude.
Because they're both brilliant minds.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? X-Files are slow this week? You're fucking reading up a dissertation?
Pretty sure they're slow every week.
Yeah, I know. He's mostly just finding these things himself.
And I love this, like, in every scene change, like, they didn't have the music down yet, so every scene change is accompanied by this weird, like, softcore porn music.
Yes,
that's all. Like,
it's mostly just tones, like polyphonic tones, like bing, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
this is like, really.
It's very Red Shoe Diaries.
It's so 1992. I fucking love it.
That's what I thought too. It was like Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, because that's what he was doing. I don't know if at the same time, but in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we get to Scully. Gets into Mulder's office and they meet, and you get the first real Mulder just being Mulder. Like, mm-hmm. Nice to meet you, Scully. What do you think of this weird shit going on? What do you think of this fucking, like, monster that gives people warts? Like, what? Tell me about your scientific opinion on this very weird thing that's happening, even though we've just met, like, 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mulder, there must be some scientific explanation for this.
She doesn't talk like that at all.
She doesn't talk like that at all. I never said I was good at impressions. I never said I was. Whatever. So then they end up working on this case where, because these kids keep turning up. They're in the same graduating high school year.
Yeah, 89, the class of 89.
That's when I was born. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Maybe you're the curse.
I am the curse. I take it. So then they have these marks on their bodies, and then like all this weird shit's going on. They end up like investigating, you know, Scully takes a dirt sample here and there. whatever.
She's like, I got a pocket, full of dirt. Sand.
And then she ends up, they end up getting like pretty spooked out in the forest, am I right?
Yeah, they have spooked. A couple. Well, that one guy hits her over the fucking head with like a shotgun.
Which again,
knocks her down. That fucking guy. Yeah. Fucking sheriff guy, whatever the fuck that guy is.
Sheriff, what's his
Sheriff
face?
Miles, I think.
Or Detective Miles.
Detective Miles, yeah.
Because he's trying to protect his son.
Well, what's not clear this entire time is, like, what is happening.
No, it's not clear.
Which I feel like we're not making very clear right
now. No, we're not clear. But I think that's the point. The thing is about this episode, it's like, it's more just about establishment, you know, of the show. It's not about this story because... It makes no sense. And then eventually it's like this guy, this kid, Billy, he's been, like, in a coma for however long. But it turns out in his sleep, he's not in a coma.
He's out getting abducted.
He's out getting abducted and bringing other people to be abducted, I think.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He said the light has been... Okay, so let's just back up a little bit. So they're like, we're going to exhume a body.
We're going to grave dig.
For LOL.
Yeah.
And...
it falls out.
It's just a classic coffin mishap. Just falls and opens. And they're like, this isn't standard procedure. And Mulder's like, well, it's already been done, so...
And
he's just eating sunflower seeds, which I think is disgusting, because now there's just this open casket, and the body is, like, fucking sick. It's like a tree person. It looks so fucked up.
You're like, what is the deal with this
thing? And then Scully's like, whatever, it's probably a chimpanzee. Is what the problem is.
She's, like, giving herself notes at night that she's gonna, like, later read, like, she's gonna later, like... transcribe, but like she's like some type of chimpanzee with an elongated face, like she's describing all these things and you're like, what the fuck, everyone knows that ain't a fucking chimpanzee.
But also she finds a weird metal
thing
in its nose, and that is very interesting. They want to investigate that. Because these kids keep dying, like, in and around the forest, they decide that what they need to do is, like, go into the forest.
Oh, no, and then that's when the townspeople are pissed, and that's when Scully gets bonked over the melon.
Yeah, which starts, like, this thing that happens to Scully throughout the series where she just always gets knocked down. Like, she has her gun out, she gets the drop on somebody, and then she just gets knocked out. Or she falls down a set of stairs, or, like, something bad just happens to her.
Also, another recurring theme that's introduced in this episode is Scully in the bathroom.
Hmm.
And, like, Scully being a babe. Scully spends a lot of time in the bathroom, like, especially looking at her own self in the mirror.
Because she thinks she has the marks, too.
Well, in this particular case, but just, like, in the series in general, there's a lot of scenes of Scully in her bathroom.
Yeah.
In her bathroom, taking a bath.
Weird. It's really weird recurring theme.
I know. It's just because she's a hot babe.
And they just didn't know how to, like, bring that in. They were like, well, she can't be a sexy agent.
She has to only be sexy in the shower.
You know what was interesting about this is I was reading that Gillian Anderson didn't want to do this scene where she, like, disrobes and gets into the bath, and then, like, has to go and see Mulder afterwards when she discovers, like, the warts on her back. She's like, oh my god, Mulder, what is this? Is this the sign that I've been abducted? Because we lost time earlier and fucking whatever else. But I guess she didn't want to do it. She thought it was unnecessary.
It's completely unnecessary.
Yeah. It's so unnecessary.
And Chris Carter was like, no, you need to do it because we need to show that whatever feelings occur between Mulder and Scully are completely platonic, because he, like, and I was like, that's so fucking stupid, like, this woman just showed up in her bathrobe, so I'm just gonna have to accost her now. It's like, the only way we can show that this relationship is purely about friendship is by having her show up in a bathrobe to his motel room
and show her naked bod.
I thought that it was, like, not at all platonic. I thought it was sexy.
I thought
he
was hot.
Like, holding a candle, it's like he's gonna drip wax on her bare body.
She's gonna be like,
he gets down low and he gets right down to it and he's like, what's this? And, like, I don't know, none of my friends would fucking, they'd be like standing over here and, like, shining a light. They wouldn't get a candle is so
No,
romantic.
I wouldn't want to get a candle because I think that's dangerous.
Exactly, but it's also sexy.
Scully, your robe is so sexy. I love the shoulder pads. It's so
even her robe had shoulder
pads. I know, that's exactly, that's a sign of the times, my friends.
Yeah. can we talk about all the ways that they establish that this town is creepy? There's a lot of things. So first, when they're flying in the plane, it experiences, like, weird turbulence over the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Mulder's like, must be the place. And then when they're driving in the car, the radio goes weird and the clock goes weird.
Yeah,
and then
lose time. 9 minutes, yeah.
Oh, but before that, that's when Mulder gets out and, like, spray paints an X just, mm-hmm. like, oh, on exactly. the ground.
Right. Yeah.
And then later on, that happens again and they lose time and it's, like, near the X. And he was like, oh!
I know, yeah.
And then when they go into the forest, his compass is, like, all wonky.
Yeah, and, like, not to mention that the forest is, like, controlling people. I think that's what's happening.
Well, I mean, yeah, but before that, that's how they kind of establish, like, this place is weird.
And the townspeople are super sketch, and they're, like, they clearly have some information, and then, like, the fucking, the guy that does the autopsies, whatever, is the medical examiner is, like, withholding information of some kind. It's very sketchy. But then, like, on all the information comes out, it turns out Billy's just been fucking getting abducted, getting other people abducted. People are just fucking dying and whatnot. But then, like, so just to sum it up, of course, this is exactly what happens, is that Scully has just been passed out for the time that any of the important shit happens. So when she wakes up, she actually doesn't see anything that happens. So she can't actually, like, corroborate the story that actually did happen, which Mulder was totally there for. And she's, like, just trying to, like, rationalize everything and being, like, mm-hmm. I can't. And then, like, when she hands in her report, she's, like, I can't actually say that any of what Mulder says is true. And, like, these are things that I know, but, like, I can't, like, give proof of them.
How do you explain missing time? How do you quantify that?
She was like, time is a universal constant. Yes. It just goes, like, minute by minute.
And Mulder's response, not in this zip code.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Like, oh my god. Yeah. Mulder's terrible, terrible jokes, his terrible quips and one-liners throughout the entire show is so bad, but
there are some
so
really
great.
Bad ones. Like when Scully's being super skeptical and he's like, well, that's why they put the I in FBI. And I was like, what?
So I know, I put that down. I wrote that down too. The I in FBI.
Another thing that gets established in this episode is Mulder's origin story.
So we hear about Samantha.
Yeah.
Samantha
Mulder.
So when he was 12, his sister got abducted from her bed.
By
aliens, of course. Mm-hmm. Mulder was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
He also is under the impression that there is some kind of high-level government conspiracy going on that is both helping him to continue to investigate the X-Files, but then preventing him at the same time from finding any real success. Like, it's almost, obviously all these things are happening, and it's good to kind of make a joke out of them, basically. So he's, like, allowed to explore them, but discredited or can't ever come up with the answer. And some kind of weird things happen, like someone just goes ahead and steals their creepy body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
someone sets their motel on fire.
Yeah,
so like everything's just destroyed. So like there's some evidence that that's true.
He's so mad. He's so angry when it happens too, and he goes fucking crazy. He goes off the rails so quickly.
He's already pretty like jaded, I guess, at this point.
Yeah,
because he's like, you've been sent to debunk me, but look at all of this evidence.
Yeah, he's just like rolling in the irony at this point. So here's what I have as being the closing of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I wrote. Smoking Man is Sketch City and is dumping case files and whatnot and stealing evidence. Damn, homie, it's the Pentagon.
Yeah, so he takes that implant, that thing that, like, Scully gives to her, like, supervisors.
Yeah,
like, the one remaining piece of evidence that didn't get, like, destroyed.
Exactly, and she's like, and when I ran it through the, like, spectrometer, it said, unknown substance. How do you explain that? And they're like, I don't know. And then the Smoking Man takes it, and he puts it, along with all these other ones, in a box, and then he, like, walks out. And it's, like, this warehouse of, like, clandestine evidence.
Yeah.
And it's in the Pentagon.
The fucking Pentagon, guys. This is deep. We're in deep.
Yeah, basically. That's the...
It's the start of the conspiracy arc.
Exactly. Yeah.
And as this show goes on and gets way more fucking convoluted than it already is, there's so many different, like... It's like alien arcs, conspiracy arcs, super soldier arcs, crazy, crazy shit that happens, and this is just, like, the beginning.
And we see the Smoking Man.
Such a creep.
What a weirdo.
Love him. Love okay. him.
You like him.
He's always smirking, and it reminds me of my sixth grade teacher, who was also always just sort of smirking, no matter what mood he was
but
in.
But it's almost like his eyes are closed, and he's like...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't think he means to smirk, to be honest. I don't think it's intentional.
But he does.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just always doing that. Another fun fact, William B. Davis, the guy who plays him, was a drama teacher. He's in Canada.
Oh.
What? Yeah.
What a good little tidbit of info.
I'm going to be full of these.
I was going to say, Matt's going to be full of these.
I'm just going to be telling you about your X-Files facts.
I love all these little extra little bits of info that we get to have. Should we dive into some segments?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've kind of already touched on some of these things, but this segment is called Mulder Logic.
You believe in the existence of extraterrestrials.
Where we discuss spooky Mulder.
Yeah.
In all his glory. And I like when, like, I feel right off the top, he's, like, so intense. And he's like, do you believe in extraterrestrials?
Yeah.
Like, that's a loaded question. I don't know. It's just very funny. I love him. I love how over the top he is, his character is in this episode.
I love how quickly he gives all of his explanations at the very beginning of, like, every episode. Especially, like, again, this episode was such a perfect example of that and how it continues. Like, Scully just shows up in the office and he's like, here's a slide. Here's another slide. Yeah. Here's a bunch of dead cows. Yeah. Here's a bunch of alien shit. Tell me what you think. Yeah. Okay. That's what you believe?
So
that's what
true.
You believe with your logic? Well, you know what? Too bad, because it's aliens. Let's go, Scully. Get your jacket. We're flying across the country. Get the Taurus. Get the fucking Taurus right now. We're going.
He's so prepared. It's so true. Like, how he's so prepared for everything that's going to happen. And, like, he already knows what's going to happen. And it just really sets him up of, like, as being the most paranoid dude of all time. Like, he's paranoid that the government is trying to, like, hide information. He's paranoid about the townspeople. He's paranoid that just everyone's out to get him and that aliens are everywhere.
But the fucked up thing is, he's right.
No, he's right. But he's like, just the only one who gives a shit.
But
he's very frustrated.
My favorite moment of Mulder Logic was when they were, like, in the forest and they saw basically nothing. Scully's like, expand this pocket full of sand. And he was like, well, what I think is that the forest is summoning kids to come into the forest and then it's killing them.
Why?
The forest is doing that because of aliens. And Scully was like, like, her mind just, like, blew up, and for 1 second she was like, I guess that is what's happening.
Yeah, was that the part where she laughs hysterically?
Yes! Yes,
I
she
love
just,
that.
She's just like,
in the rain? Wait, is it in the rain?
Yes, it's like,
oh my
pouring
God.
Rain, and he's like, this is what I think, and she's just like laughing because she's just like, I'm a doctor.
I feel like there's actually, and we should try and find it, a blooper from that very scene where she's actually laughing really hard. Like, she just can't stop laughing.
Yeah, she laughs because it's just ridiculous.
She's fully laughing.
So
but I don't think that they meant to do that when they filmed it. I think she was just laughing really hard and they're like, all right, well, we'll just play it like you're crazy.
She just laughs with a maniacal, like, it's
oh my God. And he's so intense and it's so funny. It's a very interesting introduction to a character because I feel like often, like, when you're introduced to a character, like, they have sort of, like, especially like a main character, a protagonist of this whole story, they're usually like have like kind of like a more positive outlook, or they're just starting out and they're like ready to go. But like Mulder's already so jaded and paranoid and bogged down by the system and like can't fucking like get any of the shit he wants done. Like, he's already so over it. Like, he so it's just such an interesting place to start a story.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And like, he doesn't trust Scully at all.
No.
Throughout the entire episode.
Right.
He ain't got no friends.
Just for, like, except for the one point where I think they're in the hotel and he's like, okay, Scully, I need to tell you something because I believe you need to know this. And that is aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, my sister. And then he kind of says it just like, oh, she just disappeared in the night. But then, like, 10 minutes later, he's like, but it was actually aliens.
But it was for sure aliens.
It's like somehow she had, like, come far enough along that he was like, now I can see that you will be receptive to this, which is aliens.
You have given absolutely no reason for me to believe that you would be totally on board with this, but aliens.
But aliens
is a thing. Yeah.
In case you didn't catch that, aliens.
Yeah.
It's about aliens. Yeah, so we love Mulder.
Love him.
What a great name, too.
Love
we should
him.
Really look up where that name
like
comes
moldy,
from.
Like, it's moldy, like the basement where the X-Files are.
Honestly, as a kid, I really thought his name was Mulder.
Mulder?
Like Mulder?
Yeah. Mulder.
Like Boulder?
Yeah. From Mulder.
Yeah. David Dukov. Who doesn't love David Dukov?
My aunt met him.
Really?
Did she have sex with him? He's a sex addict.
I'll ask her.
That's what sex addicts do, you know. They just walk up to people they meet for the first time and say, like,
stick their dick in
I will get back to you and know what the story is. I'm going to actually talk to her about this, and because I can't remember the full story and I don't want to tell it wrong, so I'll bring it back up next episode about her interaction with David Duchovny.
Okay, good.
Because I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I would love to hear it.
Okay, let's talk about something we're going to talk about every episode is Scully's debunk.
What I find fantastic is any notion that there are answers beyond the realm of science. The answers are there. You just have to know where to look.
We touched on some of these things, but let's go deeper.
Well, my favorite moment was when Mulder's like, look at this body, this exhumed body. It's obviously an alien body. And she was like, no, like it's mammalian and it's a chimpanzee.
Yes.
And she was just like, so science.
She also says that she thinks it's a joke. She also is like, it's obviously just a practical joke. Someone put a chimp body in a casket.
Because that is hilarious.
And decomposed it.
Don't like, you hate it?
What?
When
what's the
someone
joke?
replaces what's your loved one's dead body with a chimpanzee
but
body?
But also, like, let's just think about logic for a second here. There's like, what is the joke? Is that you know later someone's going to exhume the body? Because when you put a chimpanzee body in a coffin and you put it in the ground, who's benefiting from that joke? Yeah. Other than someone who's going to exhume the body years later or whatever. Like
I don't know. She doesn't understand jokes.
She doesn't know what jokes are. No, she's not funny.
No.
Future historians, when they, you know, thousands of years from now...
When
they're building some fucking space building in wherever the fuck they are, Oregon or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how we do now when they dig up the ground to lay the foundations and they discover there's just a chimpanzee body.
Yeah, they're just gonna be like,
coffin.
And they're like, knee slapping.
Yeah, they're like, wow. Somebody got us good.
Just to confuse people in the future to be like, what were people?
What were people like? Were they like people or were they like chimpanzees? I don't know.
Or was just this one chimpanzee?
Did chimpanzees, did they evolve enough to live next to humans? Did they have their own funereal rites?
These are the questions in Scully, what we're going to call Scully's joke. The greatest joke Scully ever made. Yeah, also this sets her up as being someone who often likes to dismiss people as being psychotic.
True.
When they believe in aliens or when fucked up shit is happening, she's like, they're suffering from psychosis.
Yeah.
Because that's her only explanation. And I mean, I feel for her because, you know, she's medicine woman.
Yeah.
Dr. Dana.
Dr. Dana Scully, medicine woman. And she thinks that girl Peggy is suffering from psychosis.
Yeah, she's basically just like an 18th century doctor. She's like, these women are all hysterical.
Somebody, I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Why
what
not?
Were you say?
We're all friends here.
I was going to say the thing that they do, like...
Diddle them?
Yes! Oh. Give them orgasms and they'll stop being so hysterical.
It's not a bad strategy.
Yeah.
You just go around being hysterical until someone gives you an orgasm. Someone's like, oh, fuck, shut the fuck up.
And you're like, actually, I feel...
Thanks.
I feel better.
I feel better.
Honestly, it works.
So
I think it works for me. I think that works for me.
I'm saying maybe in this fight for equal rights, we've lost some of the benefits along the way.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Nobody, do not let your doctor diddle you. Unless that's what you truly want and it's consensual and you're in a loving committed relationship.
Wow. So many parameters.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's really strict.
How did we get here?
No, I don't know.
I love that we're setting this bar for like the first episode. It's
there's
wonderful.
No limits to what we can discuss here. This is a safe place.
Yes.
This is a safe space for everybody.
Does anyone else have a favorite Scully debunk?
We did kind of go over it already.
Yeah.
But I feel like she doesn't really have too many debunk moments. It's just mainly moments of her being like, you can't be serious,
no.
Mulder. You can't be serious, Mulder.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, how do you explain it? And she goes, there's a reason, but we just don't know it yet. We need to investigate more. I just want to solve this case just like you do. Blah, 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 blah.
I think that we should call this segment... You can't be serious. Yeah. Because I think that we could definitely find a soundbite of Scully being like, you can't be serious.
Oh, for sure there are, yeah.
You can't be serious, Mom.
Yeah. You can't be serious.
I think that what's interesting, though, is, like, so there, we've established them both at the very polar opposite ends of the belief spectrum, or whatever you want to call it, science and the fantastical. But throughout the series, as things get increasingly, objectively, weirder and weirder and inexplainable, you see them both gravitating and to their natural kind of ends, and it actually looks just as ridiculous on both sides. Like, when... Yeah. Like, full-on ghosts or whatever, just, like, chasing them. Scully's like, science! There has to be an explanation! And Mulder's like, UFOs! It's so obvious! And they both they both look stupid. Because, like, it's both just like, no.
No, maybe it is a little bit too far. Yeah, it's so true. It's such an interesting pairing of people who are on such opposite sides of the spectrum. I guess that's why it's such a good dynamic.
Yeah.
Because it just, the dynamic creates itself.
Plus, they're both babes.
Plus, they're both babely. I think we wanted to talk about the best special effects of the epi.
Well, I think Matt already talked about it, which was the ghost tornado.
The ghost tornado. It was really the only special effect, I thought, in this episode. Like,
there was also the moment where they're in the car and they get, like, blinded by the light. And it's, oh, like, these weird freeze frames of, like, them just being like,
It's so, it's like, weird.
It's so bright. And then... Yeah, that was it, though.
I also took note of the wind-spinning ghost tornado at the beginning. That seemed to be the only... They put all the special effects money into that opening sequence just to wrap people into it. Yeah. Like, yo, like, this gonna be fucking good, but that's all they had. And then the only other thing was, like, the chimpanzee body, but that wasn't special effects. It was more, like, costume design.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. True, true, true.
There was no, like, CGI involved or anything like that. It was just, like... dummy.
I look forward to discussing this segment in later episodes because they get some jokes-ass special effects. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure at the time it was, like, amazing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Actually, very soon there will be an episode where there is, like, green bugs.
Oh, my
God. Green glow-in-the-dark bugs.
I hate that! Oh, It's really good.
That's a scary one. One's not so scary. It's mostly just, like...
It's spooky.
I find it very confusing.
It's like...
I was like, who's this person? Who's this person?
It's Scully just being like... First,
saying names.
The whole episode can be summed up like this. First, Scully's like, that's a bug bite. Then, Mulder's like, that's a bug bite.
The end.
The end. That would have been your 30-second synopsis.
I know! Obviously, I feel so stupid now. But anyways, just saying, like, that's what this was about. It wasn't really scary. There are scary episodes. I watched this show growing up. I was only allowed to stay up late on Sunday nights when a new episode aired, and my family and I would watch it all together. So I'm sure my dad would be very proud that we're making this podcast right now, even though it's not suitable for dads.
I was going to say, do you think he wants to listen to it? Do you think he wants
Jay-Z.
Listen to his daughter talk about orgasms? Do you think that would be...
No, he doesn't want to hear it.
Hey, but, Dad, I think that's what works for you.
But honestly,
I'm hysterical.
Like, he's retired now. Maybe he will listen. Maybe he'll just get more insight into what my life is truly like.
Well, sorry, Jay-Z. Sorry.
Love you, Dad. Love you.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, I think that there will be better special effects that come up. Yeah. For sure. Okay, this is a really important segment. Arguably the most important segment of this entire show, because why else are we doing it other than to discuss Skulderwatch?
I've heard a lot about you.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Skulderwatch.
Yeah. So this is any points in the show, in each episode, where there is some kind of connection between Mulder and Scully, like shipping them.
We're shipping them.
I don't even know how, like, you guys use that term in your other Poor Issues podcast.
And you just did it. And
you
nailed
it. You did it right. Okay. Shipping.
Sweet.
Like a container.
Because we, I think...
I'm relevant.
Can we just set the tone here? Like, do we ship Mulder and Scully?
I ship their relationship in general. I like it in all its different forms, which it does kind of oscillate. There's even some times when it's really, like, acrimonious and antagonistic. Yeah. I think that what I like most about their relationship is that they just, like, accept each other for who they are, and they don't really ask the other person to change. Like, Mulder will be like, can't you just, like, open your mind a little bit, and, like, is it so... He's always says something like, is it so ridiculous to think that the explanation might be something in the paranormal realm, based off what you're seeing? But he's never like, Scully, I wish that you were different. I wish that you would believe. I wish that you would, like...
Yeah.
You know?
And
I think that she's the same way. She's not like, she's like annoyed with him in like a funny way, but she's never like, you're fundamentally wrong, Mulder. Like she's...
I think they both contribute to like opening each other's minds and opening each other's worlds.
Yeah, they challenge each other, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's really nice, and I think it's a really productive relationship.
I ship them.
Yeah, and you see it like in this episode too, just the way they challenge each other like throughout the series. Again, a very good example in the pilot. It's just like, this is, you can tell it sort of sets the tone. I mean, other than that like brief, like Mulder has that brief Red Shoe Diaries moment when Scully shows up in his motel and takes her robe off. You see the gears moving in his head like, oh no, wait, I'm on a different show now.
Right? No, it's so true. Cause,
be
like,
cool, Fox. Be
and
cool.
That, but like, yeah, it's like, I, like Matt had brought it before. It's like, it seemed like that scene was kind of
just unnecessary.
But the only thing it serves and is the opposite of what Chris Carter says it serves, because it just serves the audience being like, oh, give me more. Like, give me more of that. Give me more of Scully showing up to his motel room and taking off her fucking robe and being in her bra and panties and shit.
And it's not the first time that they make midnight and, you know,
calls. Burn the midnight oil.
Hotline bling, midnight hotline bling.
Yeah, because he shows up at her hotel room at night, like, before that. He just knocks on the door, he's like, hey. Like,
yeah, and that happens throughout the series. They just, like, they're always together. I love them together, I love their relationship. I don't think they need to, like, get married or anything like that.
No.
That's unnecessary.
Spoiler alert.
That's unnecessary.
They don't
get married.
They're
still not married.
Spoiler alert. Well, for anyone who hasn't seen the show, they didn't know that. So now you spoiled it.
You haven't seen a show from 1992 and you're afraid of spoiler alerts? Then
yeah.
You're wrong.
So, Skulder Watch continues.
Mm-hmm.
It never ends. Never ends.
But that...
10 seasons.
That flame is lit.
The flame is lit.
In this
by that
episode.
Candle that he uses to light up...
Her mosquito bites.
And he's like, that's a mosquito bite, bro. Chill.
But they
chill,
look the same as the other mysterious.
They look exactly the same.
Yeah.
When I first saw that, and when I watched it like 10 years ago, I thought that she also had been abducted by aliens.
Which, like, spoiler alert, she then is.
But we don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't know for sure. You're right.
Judging by the parameters of the show,
she did.
We can make an educated guess that.
We're going to argue about this later.
Yeah, apparently.
Further episodes.
Ooh, we should have a debate.
Yeah.
I'll be the moderator.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, we can take turns.
So
I'm sure
fun.
There's going to be many debates.
This is so fun. Okay, so, well, I guess the last question is, did we like this episode, and do we have any ratings that we want to throw out there?
But I really liked this episode, yeah. I thought it was I think I said this before, it was a great intro into what X-Files is as a show, as a series. Like, perfectly encapsulates Mulder and Scully's relationship, their, like, professional relationship and their friendship, and, because that's also what the show is mainly, is a lot about, besides aliens and conspiracies and shit, is how Mulder and Scully grow together. But, yeah, they just took very weird alien abduction-y, like, premise, threw it out there, introduced these two awesome characters, and end of the episode doesn't really resolve, which, again, par for the course for X-Files, so yeah. I liked it. Very good as pilots go.
I agree. I love this show. I think it's a great pilot. I give it 3 densely covered forests out of 3.
What a small scale that is.
Yeah.
It's very full scale.
I'm going to go against the grain here, and I'm going to say, like, I do feel like they're a bit of caricatures of themselves. That is a bit annoying, but that's fine. I think you need to do that in the pilot to really hammer home, like, who they are. I do like the pilot because it does bring up recurring themes, recurring characters, all that. But I honestly found this particular case that they're on to be super confusing. Like, well, because I get confused about people's names and faces. So, like, they just kept naming people's names. And I was like, who's this? Who's that? Who's this? Like, I don't know. Maybe I scrutinized it too much. But There are obviously episodes I love way, way more. And I just think, like, this particular case that they picked to feature in the pilot, I didn't love.
Yeah. I think it served its purpose.
But it did serve its purpose. It was a good vehicle to bring us all the foundational things we need to know going forward, as Matt and Alex said, about their relationship and about what we can expect.
Yeah.
So I give it, like, three half-smoked cigarettes out of five.
I will also give this 3.5 flying saw, 3.5 weird alien warts out of five.
Ew. Ew. Oh yeah, just classic mosquito bites.
Well, even though the Scully's like, oh, these are obviously puncture marks. I'm like, I've never seen a puncture mark look like it's a wart. They're like, it's a fucking wart.
They're so raised up. They're like moles.
Yeah. Everyone in this stupid shitty town has a ward problem. Like,
yeah, in the same place. That's weird.
Maybe they have like a toad infestation.
Yeah, I was gonna say toads. Toads are the problem here.
Like a okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up episode one.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
It's good.
I think it's wrapped.
All right. Sounds well, you know, we will. Thanks for joining us, and we will. Talk to you all next week.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast,
We Want to Believe. Brought to you by Poor's Shoes.
Featuring Matt.
Join us next week for episode 2, where...
Mulder and Scully investigate the mysterious case of a military test pilot who disappeared after experiencing strange psychotic behavior in the episode titled Deep Throat.